Aren't they awesome? Thanks. Yeah, awesome. So awesome. I might get you to come back up and sing that song. I'm not sure exactly what direction the Lord's going to go today, but I know it's all good. I just want to encourage every single one of you that came here tonight. The Lord spoke this to me last Wednesday night, and I didn't know if I should have shared it or not. You know, I was like, Lord, if I was disobedient, I apologize. I'll wait for the next opportunity to be able to share it with you. But God has something really special for you guys, because the word that kept coming to me was remnant. Remnant. And when you come to church, no matter who's doing praise and worship, and when you come to church, no matter who's going to be up here preaching the word of God, and when you come to church because you just want to come, or you're convicted about coming to church, or you just know that that's the right thing to do, God sees that. It doesn't go unnoticed by God. And he said that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the house of their God. That means that you're going to flourish in every area of your life. That's a promise. So you should be able to walk out of here confidently knowing, because you are here. You are planted. It's like you make a determination in your heart to be in church. I'm going to be there. You know what they say, come hell or high water, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in church. No matter what, because God's here. His presence in here is here. It doesn't matter what man is here. It's his presence is here. And if you have ears to hear and a heart to receive, he's going to speak something to you. I promise he will. In praise and worship, or through whoever's speaking, or actually what happens to me a lot of times is when Dwayne's preaching or whoever it is, and you probably have happened, this has happened to you. You'll be listening, and all of a sudden, the Lord will plunk something in your heart, and it's like, whew, he'll just take you off to just something completely different. And sometimes that's what happens with me. But the bottom line is that we're here to connect with God, and he wants to connect with you. I mean, that's the bottom line. He wants to connect with you. One of the scriptures that came to me was in Hebrews, when I thought about that, the remnant. You know, we live in such crazy times, but Hebrews 10, and Bob, just get ready. I've just got scriptures all over the place, and I hope you have your Bibles with you. I just encourage you to have this amazing book of life and power, and the Word of God is what you need to just live your life by. So I love the Word of God. The one thing that I wanted to share with you is just about having a conviction. And whenever Dwayne was preaching Sunday morning, what I saw more than anything else, I don't know who was here, you know, when he shared, but he's got a conviction about some things. You agree? Yeah. He's got a conviction about some things, and so it comes across. And so when you have a conviction about what the Word of God says, you can't be moved. And that's conviction. Anyway, here's the scripture. Just read 2 Timothy 1. So I know, but this is the one that came to me just while I was standing over there. This is something, I mean, just even write it down. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. That's conviction. That's being totally convinced that no matter what you see with your eyes, no matter what's going on in your life right now, you can say, I know whom I have believed. And if you can say, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in what Jesus said, and I believe in what Jesus did, then you can't be moved. You know, there's that song that says, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm not going to sing it for you, but that's how we need to be going into the troublesome times that we live in. It's so easy to let our minds, you know, Bob put that up. You put that up? Do not be conformed? That was so funny. I walked in and I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh. Which one? 2 Timothy 1:12. I'm sorry. I apologize. See, I'm just a spinning top. Bear with me. Okay, so we get that one up there so we can look. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, so it's Paul's talking to Timothy, saying, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able. You're persuaded that God is able to keep what you've committed to him. So whatever it is that you've committed to him, whether it's your marriage, your children, your finances, your health, whatever it is, be persuaded in what Jesus says, not in what anybody else says. Be persuaded with what this word says. And since you have that Romans 12 up, we can just go ahead and go there real quick. I don't know where it's at here, my thing. Okay, so when I was asking the Lord whenever my next time was going to be to be able to share with you guys, this scripture kept coming, or this word kept coming to my mind. Gird up. Gird up. And so I remembered I did a Bible study called Girl, Where Is Your Armor? And one of the scriptures that God gave me, and I had never seen it before, it was like one of those that just leaped off the pages to you. I'm going to have to go there. 1 Peter 1:13, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that word gird means to restrain. And so the things that I was thinking about is that our issue is not about our spirit man. Our spirit man has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're going to heaven. Where we're going is not an issue. The issue is, how are we going to live out this life? How are we going to walk out our daily life with God? Are we going to live it listening to the world and being conformed to the world, like Romans 12 says? It says, do not be conformed. But how easy is it to just look around and see the conformity of people to the world? Even Dwayne was talking about that with the new law that they made in San Antonio and how it's going to affect us. We've conformed. We haven't stood. We haven't voiced. We haven't let our voice be heard. And Dwayne said that, and somebody actually texted me in church when Dwayne said that quote of, evil thrives when good men do nothing. I got this, when I got out in my car, I had a text, and it was like at 11:13, whenever he was talking about that. Somebody in church had texted me and said, so-and-so and so-and-so said that, which I don't even remember who it is right now. It wasn't anybody that we really know. It wasn't, you know, somebody notable to us, but, or it may have been to you, but not to me. But just that saying, evil thrives when good men do nothing. And that's because we have let the world's system, even the religious system, dictate that we don't get involved in politics. We don't get involved. I'm not talking about politics tonight. I'm talking about girding up the loins of our mind. And that being sober, well, actually, the loins, girding up, so we're restraining the loins, and the loins is the procreative power. So we're supposed to restrain the loins of our mind. And then the other scripture that you can find about this is Ephesians 6:14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So now it says, gird up the loins of your mind. And what are we to do it with? With the truth of God's word. Not what someone says, not someone's opinion. We have given up our right to have an opinion when you became a Christian. This should be the only opinion that we have, is the word of God. And this is what should be coming out of your mouth about every single situation. And when I first kind of got born again and found out about the word and that it was alive and that God said that he created us in his image and his likeness and that He's watching over his word to perform it. Right? This was another scripture that just jumped off the pages to me, and I don't even know if I have it written down, but it was about when I was praying for my sons. I was always, every time I saw sons in the Bible, it kind of leapt off the page to me because I was praying for my sons. Okay, let's see if I can find it really quick here. And it's a prayer of David. And, you know, David, all through the Psalms, was saying, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. You know, though heaven and earth pass away, I shall not be moved. And the reason he says that is because the Lord is good. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's merciful. You know, he's always there. And that was what David stood on. Okay, it's Psalms 89, verse 30. And this is God is talking to, I don't know who did this psalm, so let's see. Remembering the covenant with David and sorrow for lost blessings. Okay, it says, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments. How many of you have seen your sons or whatever not, you know, walking in the things of God? If they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, don't you just love that, nevertheless? God says, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fall. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So you see how powerful God's word is? He says, I'm not going to alter what I've said about it. And so I can't tell you how many times on my knees I have prayed this over and just reminded God of what his word says about my sons. And I put their names there. So let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 4, and I know you guys know these scriptures, but I myself just need to be reminded. There's so many times in the Bible when I started looking up speaking and how important it is to speak what God's word says. God did it, and we're created in his image, and he wants us to do it. But in Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. What's life? The word is life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So the word of God, do not let the word depart from your eyes. Keep the word in the midst of your heart, for the word is life to those who find the word and health to all their flesh. The word of God is. Keep your heart. So I looked up that word keep, and it really means to guard, protect, and maintain. And it says your heart with all diligence, but I looked up that word heart, and it doesn't mean your spirit. That word heart is talking about your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So it's saying, keep your soul. Keep your mind, your will, and your emotions with all diligence. And that word diligence means like a guard over a prison. Right? Okay, so we're supposed to gird up the loins of our mind. And so I just picture us having our minds so fixed, you know, like the horses that have the, what are those things called on the side of them that keep them to where they only see forward? Blinders. So that's kind of what I see, that it's like some, this tight little thing that comes over your head that has you facing straight forward, not able to look to the right or to the left. But that's how I see it girding up, and that we're to guard our mind, our will, and our emotions. Because remember, our spirit is renewed. Our spirit man has become new because the Holy Spirit lives there. What we have to deal with and what we have to take care of is what's between the ears. The only way to change what's between the ears is meditate and confess out of your mouth. And you can't just meditate. It has to come out of your mouth. And it doesn't have to be the exact word of God, but it has to be the principle of God. Now, since I've kind of discovered this whole thing about what's between the ears, I've done a lot of studies about the mind. And there's a great doctor, her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf, and she did a book called Who Switched Off My Brain? And it's all about the brain and how it works. And I did a Bible study class on it, and it was so fascinating. And I've just done more and more studies. And one of the things that I've discovered in studying about the mind and the conscious mind and the subconscious mind is I've realized that when, I don't even think I wrote it down, the conscious mind, this is from, you know, just reading what doctors and scientists say, the conscious mind is limited to information that it takes in and whatever, but the subconscious mind is unlimited. This is the really cool thing. Between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind is there's this thing that they call the critical factor. And one doctor, he called it the gatekeeper. And so what it is it's this thing inside of you that when you receive information, this part of you, this it's called the gatekeeper, if it requires any change on your part, the gatekeeper says, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do that. So how doesn't it make sense that when you read what God's word says about, let me give an example like doing it, give and it will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, are men going to give it to your bosom? Does that make sense to your conscious mind? That when you give something, it's going to be given back to you. Does it make sense that when you have a need, that you need $5,000, and God says, I want you to give Sherry $100. Does that make sense? Because then you, like Dwayne says, now I owe $600 instead of just $5,000, I owe $5,100. Do you see what I'm saying? Our conscious mind says, that doesn't make sense. So that gatekeeper, that critical factor on the inside of us says, better not do that. Better not do that. So what the doctors and the scientists say, the only way to get the blueprint changed is through meditation of anything. Isn't that cool? That actual scientists are saying the only way we can change the blueprint on the inside of us is through meditation and confession. Of course, they didn't say confession. That was, you know, I think that's like a religious term. But I was so fascinated by it. So I started practicing it with some little stuff. I'm like, okay, fine. So what I started doing was saying, well, one of the phrases somebody said, but believing God for finances. So I said, well, money is coming to me in increasing quantities from multiple sources on a continual basis. That was my confession. Money is coming to me in increasing quantities from multiple sources on a continual basis. Well, in one week, I did this for several weeks. It's not like it happened. It's not like it was magic or anything. What happened was, is I was hearing with my brain saying, how is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? I mean, we think that we have to make it happen. You know, we have to do certain things. So then I'd be prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something, give something, not necessarily monetarily. Well, then I got a check in the mail from, we got some kind of rebate check that we weren't expecting. And in 1 week's time, I had money coming to me in increasing quantities in multiple sources on a continual basis over 2 weeks from places that were like, oh, did you know that they owed us money? And this insurance company that we had been, you know, totally kind of really forgotten about, they sent us a check for like $115. Like, yes, beautiful. And then we got another check from a rebate check from some credit card company that had made some kind of settlement. And I told Dwayne, I'm like, did we apply for this? He's like, I don't know anything about that. You deal with the credit cards. I'm like, so, you know, the scripture says, be sober and be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But it always says that, the all part about the devil at the very end. That's 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, which means just be self-controlled about your life. Be sober. Be sober-minded. Focus on what is at hand. In other words, don't be freaking out about what's going to happen 2 weeks down the road, or next week, or this weekend. Focus on this day, the present. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. How can I be a blessing in this day? Then James 4:1 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But a lot of times it seems like we submit to the devil and resist God. Have you ever felt like you were resisting God? I feel like that a lot of times. I feel like a lot of times I've actually submitted to the devil and what he wanted me to do and my actions and the things that I would say. In fact, about 2 weeks ago, I was in our office, and Dwayne and I, we work in the same office, and sometimes he's there more than I blank. No. Sometimes he's in the office. You know, we have a lot of things going on in our office, so sometimes he's there a little bit more than I like because we get in each other's way. So anyway, he was having difficulty on the computer, and it was something that was a continual frustration to him. I mean, like, it happens all the time. And so he was like, I need you to help me with this. He's frustrated. I need you to help me with this. And so I walk in there, and I'm annoyed. And I don't remember what word I used, if it was really, fine, whatever. I can do those really good. And we even had people that came up later and gave Dwayne some extra ones. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've used those. Anyway, so I got short with him. And I got frustrated and was harsh with trying to explain something that I felt like I've explained many times. And I went back over to my computer because he was in his office, and I got done. I'm frustrated, and I went back over there. And as loud as you can possibly be, the Holy Spirit said to me, you wouldn't talk to any person like that. You wouldn't talk to anybody else like that. Oh, my gosh. It's like you could hear a pin drop. I'm like, you're right. I'm sorry. So I went in there, leaned over, kissed him, and said, I apologize for talking to you that way and for not being patient with you and dealing with this thing. And so from that point on, I've really tried to be conscious of my tone, because it's not pleasing to God. And I want to be fully pleasing to God. I want to fulfill that scripture that says, and I don't even know where it is, Bob, it says that we would be able to walk worthy of the Lord, being fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of him. That should be our heart's desire, is that we increase in the knowledge of him in every little area of our lives, because that's what he wants. He just wants to be intimate with us. But I think we resist him in wanting that, because it takes time. And how many of you know that everyone is on the fast train to wherever? And that was another thing that the Holy Spirit, he just told me, thank you very much, he convicted me about. He said, quit wearing your busyness like a badge. Everyone has been given 24 hours in a day, and you get to choose how you use your 24 hours. So quit using your busyness like it's a big old badge, like you're some busy, important person. And what I found it was doing, it was alienating me from my friends who thought I was too busy for them. That's what he told me. Your friends think you're too busy for them when they say, how are you doing? And, you know, we're all busy. You know, we're all busy. We're all spinning tops and whatever. Everyone is. But God's given us each the 24 hours, and it's us to choose how we spend it. So, again, I apologized to my friends. Tried to take them to lunch and say, I apologize. This is what I've done. Confessed my sins to them, and I said, forgive me. I'm here for you. I never want you to feel like I'm too busy to take time to talk to you, pray with you, or have lunch with you. I can't wear my busyness like a badge. And I didn't even realize I was doing it until he pointed it out to me like a big old red flag in my face. Okay, I know I'm fixing to wrap this up really quick, but I'm not sure exactly. I've got all these scriptures. I think I'm just going to leave it at that. I think the most important thing is to let your answers, seek your answers in the Word of God. You can find an answer for everything that you're going through in the Word. And it's just, the bottom line is believing it. But it doesn't, in fact, whenever Duane and I were believing God for a house, we lived in, we were renting and we didn't want to pay rent anymore. And I said, Lord, I just need a scripture. I just need something to know that I can, I want to stand on your word about this promise for a place to live. I want to we want to have our own place. And so I was just reading through in Isaiah 32. This is going to be my last scripture. I just want to give you an idea about what I'm talking about. Find a scripture. And so I just started confessing Isaiah 32, 17 and 18. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. So that was I grabbed a hold of that scripture, that God was going to give me a secure dwelling in a quiet resting place, a peaceful habitation. Because when you're renting, how do you know that that's not secure? That's not a secure dwelling, right? Because you're using somebody else's property. And if they decide, well, I don't want you to live there anymore, how secure is that? It's not secure. So I said, Lord, this is what I'm wanting. I want a peaceful habitation, a secure dwelling place, a secure dwelling and a quiet resting place. And I don't know how long it was. I stood on that. I meditated on it. It dropped in my heart. I had the blueprint of what it was, that we were going to be out of town and it was going to be somewhere that wasn't going to have a lot of people around us. And I just knew exactly what it looked like. I painted that picture on the inside of me and I just kept on saying this scripture over and over and over. And one day my sister came in and she said, hey, we're moving to Kerrville. Would you like to buy our place? 3 acres, 2 miles out of town, with a house on it, that all we had to do was finish the payments. I didn't even have to buy at full price. We just had to finish payments on it. So, I mean, that's just how God is. And I've got tons and tons of testimonies, but any area with your kids, family, marriage, finances, whatever it is, there's the answer. I promise you, it's right in here. Amen? Okay. We have to take up an offering. Let me just pray over you. Father, thank you so much for your word. I'm so grateful that we have your word to stand on as a firm foundation. And I pray that everyone's here that's here, Lord, or that ever hears this message, that they would be able to stand firmly on your word like the rock and build their house upon that. That it will never be shaken. It will never be moved because it's built on the word of God. And I just thank you for every person that's here tonight. Bless them. Get them home safely. Thank you that you're watching over all the deer, keep all the animals off the road, and just get everyone home safe and sound, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.